one of us needs to work at. And I'm going to talk about everyone. I wish everybody in the whole church was here tonight. We've got a ton of people out for one thing or another. But I want to talk about something every one of us needs to learn how to do. And that's being a friend. A friend. The Bible says a lot about being a friend. And we as Christians sometimes are not that. Sometimes people say they're your friend, but you know when you find out who your friends are? When you're having trouble. Not when you're on the mountaintop and you got plenty of money. Everybody likes you then. But when you're down to nothing, they say this, that a friend runs in when the world runs out. And when you're down and you're on the bottom, that's when your friends will show up. And when you can't give them nothing, that's when a real friend will be there. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 8, and we'll read verse 24. Great verse, everybody knows it. I should know it, you've heard it quoted many times. Let's do just a little Bible study tonight. You help me on the subject of having and being a friend. It won't take you long tonight. I'm supposed to snow this weekend. Please, I ain't even have my TV on today, sir. But not here. No. No. I'm the pastor and I said no. No. I wish I could do that. But listen, if it does, you better be here. Huh? Oh, yeah, they've been wrong. They've been wrong. They was wrong on that. They wasn't supposed to have done that much that last time. But I hope they're not. They're the other way wrong. It's going to be about 80 degrees. But it's cold out there right now. But anyway, be here. If it snows, you can get out. Get out. My goodness. You can get out on the road. Most of them, you can get right down there. We'll try not to have the mess we had in the parking lot last time. If it's just a three or four inches, we can deal with that. Push it out of the way. If it's a foot, you know, we'll have to get somebody come scrape it a lot earlier. Well, I don't believe it. It finally just got all melted about the day before yesterday. And here it comes again. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends, everybody wants to have friends, must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who would that be? That's right. Lord Jesus himself. That friend sticks closer than a brother. He's your dearest friend you ever had. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Common sense. If you want people to like you, like them. If you want people to accept you, accept them. If you want people to be nice to you, be nice to them. You reap what you sow. Ever how you treat people, that's how you get treated. So we need to do a lady told me this one time. She said, I sat there the whole service and nobody spoke to me. And I said, did you speak to anybody? She said, well, no. I said, there's your problem right there. There's your problem. You're a snob. You're a snob. And it's the same way about business. It's the same way about business. I wasn't going to say this, but you people get sick. Listen to me. People get sick. And they'll say, there ain't but two people in the church been to see me. And I want to say it so bad I can't stand it. When they was sick, did you go see them? Never. Never. How many people did you go see? There's people sick right now. Are you going to go see them? Lord, it's quiet in here now. If you don't want to say it, that's the truth, ain't it? I mean, it works both ways. If you expect people to come see you, go see them. You say, well, nobody called me. You call them? I doubt it. And you say, well, people ought to be concerned about me. Then you ought to be concerned about them. You say, well, nobody likes me. You got to like them first. You got to make the first step. I do this on a regular basis, and I ain't fussing at you. I guess I am. I am fussing at you. Felt a little guilty when I said that. I had Sunday, there was two nice dressed ladies come in and sat right here. Did y'all see the elderly ladies? They sat right here. I went around here and had to ask about four women, would you please go speak to them? Here's a little group sitting here running their mouth. Here's a little group running their mouth. Here's a little group running their mouth. And them ladies were just sitting there. And I thought, is that the way we're supposed to be? Bless God, you ought to feel under conviction. Every one of you ought to be in the altar right now. They say, there goes one. Get on up here, sister. We'll lay hands on you. But I know what y'all, your problem is, you're so wrapped up in your own little world that you think, you know what, I'm here at church, I might try to be a blessing to somebody. I asked about three ladies. I said, would y'all go please see the woman back here in the red sweater, would you? Now, if they knowed I had to do that, they'd say, what kind of church is that? The pastor had to ask somebody to speak to us. The Bible said, if a man has friends, he must. Ladies, I wish some of y'all would be conscious of that when you come on Sunday morning. I've seen a visitor just sit here and stare straight ahead, and four women just stand around there just laughing, cutting up a pretty dress, and she's just sitting there feeling like an idiot. I mean, have you ever went to a church on vacation, or maybe you was just visiting, and those ladies, I said, where'd y'all come from? And they said, we're looking for a church. I said, glory to God, you found one. And when I was preaching, I don't know what they thought, because you know I preached that hard sermon on Famous Last Words Sunday morning. And I preached on heaven and hell. And when I got done, they came out and I said, do you like it? I said, God bless you, you're going to come back? And one of them said, that was a very good sermon. And I said, whew, hallelujah. Maybe they will come back. But you know what? It's statistics show that people judge a church not by the singing or the preaching, but by how friendly people are to them. That's a shame, but it's the truth. How welcome they're made to feel. Statistics show. Why? That's how some of these crazy churches growing by leaps and bounds. When they eat people up. It's just, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's good to see you. And people like that. People like to be made, somebody make a fuss over them. We all do. Isn't that right? Amen. I mean, I don't like to go to a church and everybody just turn around and go, ah. And you know, bitch, it looked like I'd bite your head off if you spoke. I've been in churches where a lot of older people, they got their seat. Some of them even got their names on them right there. You ever been in them churches where they put your name right there? Buddy, you better not sit down in that seat. Son, they'll knock your stuff out on the floor. But you know what? They'll look like, what are you doing here? Who invited you into this church? You won't say, well, I ain't never come back. I don't care how good preaching is. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And I wish just this crowd that's here tonight, just y'all, if every one of y'all would say, you know what? He's right. We need to work on that a little bit. This Sunday, I'm going to look around and I'm going to sort of get used to it. Watch, I can't remember all these people. Sometimes people will be out two or three Sundays before I even realize it. I can't remember everybody, but somebody near you is out. And I know some of you do this. Some of you do. Tracy back there. Tracy, she's real good at this. I'll brag on you, sister. Every once in a while, she'll text me or call me and say, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? And I'll text their number and she'll call. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to know that you're not just concerned with you. You know what I found out? If I'll get concerned about somebody else, the Lord will get concerned about me. If I'll try to help somebody with their problem, sometimes God will help me with my problem. And I've had lots of problems. I've had burden. Lord have mercy, I've been in battles. I've had some this week. I've had battles and battles. And you know what I told the Lord to do? I said, Lord, all I know to do about it is just go try to push somebody toward Jesus and let you handle and fight my battles and handle my problems. And it'll work. It'll work. That's the way I've got out of every mess I've ever been through. As I go somewhere and preach and try to help somebody else and be an encouragement to them, and then God works my problems out. So, we're going to talk about this a little bit. Anybody want to say anything about what I just said about making people welcome? Did anybody here, the first time you came, somebody made you feel welcome and it made an impression on you? Anybody? I doubt it. Our son. Amen. Who made you welcome, Miss Desi? Did she? Well, bless your heart, Miss Sue. Steve, it was me, wasn't it? Huh. I run back there and hug your neck first time you was here. Who was it? Kelly? Yep. Well, I'll be. Bless your heart, sister. You done a good work. I thought it was Tim Newton.
He's next on the list.
Oh,
yeah, he's not a first
Kelly. Ron? Ron? Who? Linda Howell. There's no telling how many people. When we was up in New Manor, there's no telling how many people was in that church because of Linda Howell. Linda Hout and Kelly Tucker. I mean, about had half a crowd got in there one time or another. Who, Brother Ray? What about that? Isn't that something? It counts. Somebody else had their hand over here. Raise their hand. Jenny?
Actually, I had several people. Shauna C. and Kim and Ron came up to the church.
Amen. Amen. So you see what a difference it makes? All right. Let's make it a little harder question. Did anybody here, the first time or two you came, felt a little snubbed or unwelcome? Brother Derek? Well, good night. That's the same impression you give other people. Who had a hand raised? Sam, did you feel like that?
I did.
All right, there's an honest confession. That's when y'all used to come and sit in the back over there, and her and her daddy and mom come sit right back there in the very back. Malachi was a little baby.
Nobody knew me by my name. They knew me as Malachi's mama.
Yeah.
And
I called him everything in the book, but Malachi. Melchizedek.
Now, Sierra did make me.
She's probably one of the Sierra. Yeah. Casey Blankenship. Isn't that something? Sierra done a good work. See, it don't cost you nothing to go over and say, hey, how are you? Good to see you. It ain't going to kill you to do that.
Judy Patton was good.
Judy Patton?
She was great.
Well, amen. Anybody else? Sabrina, don't you?
No.
Was I not nice to nobody in here? Come on now. I get paid for it. I know what you're thinking. Anybody else? Ain't a soul in here. It felt welcome. Makes a difference. It makes a difference, don't it? I mean, I like good preaching, good singing, but honestly, it makes you feel good when two or three people come and say, hey, now, what's your name? Now, where are you from? It's good to see you. And then, like Daisy. Daisy's not here tonight, but some of you ladies have been a friend of Daisy. And I'm telling you, that girl is on fire, ain't she? She's been going on bus route. I love to be around people like her. Just been saved. She stood up the other night and she said, I did my first witness today. I mean, she didn't even know how to say it, but she did it. Y'all know how to do it in Roman Road and everything. Won't do it. And she is a blessing. And I appreciate people. If you see somebody sitting by themselves, just slide over and sit beside them. Make them feel welcome. I'm a preacher, and I've been to churches where I felt like, oh, these people, what's wrong with them?
Daisy made 80 biscuits.
Did she really? Did y'all hear that? Daisy made 80 biscuits. Liver, mice, and bologna. Together? Okay. I never did eat liver, mice, and bologna together.
That's right.
Is that right? Mama? My mom did? I used to fuss at her, be friendly. Now, Daddy, he's friendly to everybody. My daddy never met a stranger. He knew everybody. He'd walk up to people who didn't even know, how you doing there? And just like he'd scare them to death. But now mom, well, I'd fuss at her. Anybody else? Who made you feel welcome? Nobody or somebody? Miss Sue?
But then I was just going to say, when we first started the church up on Carmen City, we were a small family.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
It used to be we'd go to eat or we had dinners. We'd sit down and fellowship. But now people, we drive a long ways. And we get out of church, we book on home.
Yep.
You
get in a habit of rushing in, rushing home. Everybody's got to go to work next day. Take the time. I'm not going to call on you, Little Red.
We used to have a dinner, so that helped.
We still do.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do. We had once a year outside. We still have all the camp meeting dinners. We're getting to have a sweetheart banquet in a couple of weeks. We still have them. You just got to get in there and get it. Plus, ask somebody, say, won't y'all go eat with us Sunday? Won't y'all go up here at Kentucky Fried Chicken with us or something like that? You know, sometimes you have to do that. Wait a minute now. Little Red, what's your problem? Miss Desi, made you feel welcome. Amen. Miss Desi's made a lot of people feel welcome. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Jared made you feel welcome. Jared done a good work. That's a blessing. Anybody else? Yes, sister.
Sabrina
made you feel welcome. All right, here's a tough one. I wasn't planning on doing none of this. I've changed my whole course here. Did anybody in here really get their feelings hurt by somebody? I ain't going to ask that. Sorry. And that happens, don't it? That happens. It sure does. It sure does. And people need to be careful about that. People need to, you need to watch how you talk to somebody and act around people and be a Christian to everybody. You really should. I know. I know sometimes I've come in here, boy, and I've got 1,000 things on my mind, and somebody asks me a question, and I'll just give them a quick, short answer, and I'll think, man, I should have stopped and slowed down and listened to them, and you know, we got a man that hath friends, people, must show himself friendly. That's why Linda Houck had so many friends. She was friendly. Amen. I mean, and she didn't care who you was. She wasn't scared of you. Anybody else? Before I actually get in my lesson. Okay. So I didn't make nobody here welcome. I'm just kidding. I try. All right. Here's the advantage of the friend relationship. There's all kinds of relationship. Husband and wife, father and children, employer and employee, boyfriend and girlfriend, brother and sister, all different kinds of relationship. The friend relationship is very unique. There's a, first of all, it is a friendship. It is one of the few friendships that you choose. A lot of your friendships you don't choose. You don't choose your mother. You don't choose your father, your brother, your sister, cousin. You have no choice in it. You know the old saying? They saying you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't wipe your friends on the couch. I was saying that. But did you know? Did you know that? You ain't never heard that old saying. How many's heard that old saying? Well, yeah, that's old as hell. But it's one of the few relationships that you choose. God chooses your mom and daddy and your brother and sister. You have no choice in it. You might say, oh, I wish I hadn't have been born into this family. You have no choice. But you know what? I can choose to be your friend. And you can choose to be my friend. And vice versa. We have given honor to each other. I've got a lot of friends in this church, no doubt. I was thinking about Christy today. Christy's always been a friend to me. Brandon has too. Christy, you know, she's been family, just about family all her life. And she'd fight anybody over me, and she's been a friend. I got a lot of friends sitting in here tonight. Don's been a real friend to me. We hadn't crossed paths in 20 years, had we? And somehow or another, he came walking in the old building over there one day, and Ben was ever since. He's been a friend, and I appreciate it. I ain't going to start naming off. Big Ray been a friend to me. Derek's been a friend to me. Miss Sue and Fred and all that, they've been a real friend to me. Joe and Lorraine, been a real friend to me. Tim and Tammy's been a real friend to me. Brother Ray, all of you, been a friend to me. And you choose to be a friend. And they say, I've heard it said, that when a person dies, if they've got 5 real friends, that they're doing good. Now, you might not, you think, oh, Lord, surely I got 5. You might be surprised. People say, I got lots of friends. I know how y'all doing in those stupid Facebook stuff, you know. Somebody said, I got 300 friends. You might have 3. You might have 3. When you die, if you've got 5, you're doing good. Because a friend is somebody will be there when you ain't got nothing. Nothing. And you ain't got no hope and no help. That's when your friend. Friend runs in when the world runs out. We have given honor to each other by saying, I'll be your friend. All right? Let me say something else about the friend relationship. It can be an unselfish relationship. In most relationships, there is a righteous selfishness, which in the back of your mind, you expect something in return. When I choose to be your friend, there's no strings attached. It ain't like husband and wife where it says, all right, if you ain't faithful to me, I'll kick you out. Or a boyfriend and girlfriend where it says, all right, if you flirt with another girl, I'm dumping you. Or something like that. It's not like that. We're friends unconditionally. I can see you today and you're my friend. If I don't see you for a week or two, then I see you're still my friend. That's a blessing. That's a wonderful thing. It's one of the few relationships that's unselfish. It's not that I say, if you don't do this or this or this, and then I ain't going to be your friend no more. That's the way kids do. Those little brats, if you're not this and this and this, I'm not going to be friends with you no more. That's not a friend anyway. A friend is somebody that knows your faults and knows and still loves you anyway and still good to you and will be there for you anyway. I got people around the country, I count myself a rich man, that I could call tonight. A lot of people say, well, Brother Danny, you got some enemies. And I do. But I'm going to tell you something. I got some people tonight that I could call and say, I've got to have $500 by tomorrow morning in your car. And they'd say, you come get it. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you. I ain't no doubt in my mind. They said, listen, I've had them say, Brother Danny, you need me to come down there and do something? Anybody you need out of the way? I had them tell me that. Lots of time. I mean, and these are good big old Christian boys that ain't been saved long, and they meant it. I had a guy give me a fit one time. We used to have this guy come up to New Manor, and he was about half, I don't know what he was, Spanish or something, and had a little accent, and he come up there one time, and there was some people giving us some trouble, and he come around the corner of the church. I'll never forget it. I can tell you exactly where I was. He come around the corner like that, and everybody was talking, man, they're after the preacher, and they're saying this and causing trouble. He come up, and he sort of had his hand like this. He said, preacher, you want me to waste him? I said, no, we ain't ready for that yet. Just tell you this. He said, I'll waste him for you. I'll get rid of this guy. And I thought, man, that's a real friend there, brother. I appreciate it. He had my back. Amen. And you know, I'm not suggesting violence or anything, but Linda Halk was like that about me. She'd fight you if somebody. She called me many a time. She said, well, you're going to be mad at me. And I said, why? She said, I just called so-and-so and cussed them out. I said, Linda, don't do that. She said, well, I'm tired of what they're saying about you. I cussed them out. She said, I'll let them have it. And I said, now, Linda, you know, I don't care. I'm sick of it, Danny. I don't want nobody talking about you like that. You know what that was? That's a friend. That's a friend. Amen? Amen. I mean, somebody, when it gets right down to it, they'd punch somebody in the nose for you. That's good. I've got people sitting like that here tonight. If you don't believe it, you know, you don't know. That's okay. Pow, that's all I'm going to listen to. Pow. You ain't going to talk that way about my friend, my pastor, my church, whatever. We ought to be friends. Have each other's back. You ought not to go to work around a bunch of heathen, wicked people and side up with them against your Christian sister and talk about her like she's some sort of nerd because she tries to dress right and live right. You ought to side up with your real friend. Amen? Now, even if it ain't popular, take your side with your real friend. Because one day, your real friends is all you're going to have. Your family and your friends. Anybody want to say something right there? Anybody got a story about how somebody's been a real friend to you? Went out of their way to help you. Not because they got paid for it, but because they cared about you and wanted to invest. I got bunches of stories like that. I had to make an emergency trip to Florida years ago. And I had a boy call me, had a brand new Monte Carlo. Remember them things? And he said, take my car. It's brand new. Here it is. Open my sunroof. Here, fill it up with gas, everything. I'll never forget that boy doing that for me. Never. I remember one time I was going through a hard time. Real bad. Real bad. One of them times where you can't eat. And I was walking the floor and crying and praying. And there's a boy from the church showed up and knocked on my back door. And I opened up the door, and there he stood, had his arms full up. He said, let me in. I said, what are you doing? And he knew that I liked ham. He heard me talk about it. I like country ham. I've always liked country ham, still do. It's not my favorite. Man, I'd rather have steak, but I used to really, really like country ham. You know, real salty. He had went and bought a bunch of country ham. He come in there, started open the refrigerator, turned the stove on, put that big slab of that ham in the frying pan. He said, "We're going to eat country ham." And it was late at night, like 10 o'clock at night. And you know, I ain't never forgot that. That was 25 years ago. And I've never forgot him doing that. That was a friend to me. It really was. He thought, I know if I call him, he's going to say, "No, I don't want nothing. I'm not." He just, bless God, got it all ready and come over there, set me down and said, "Eat." And that time I smelled that stuff for a while, I was having me an appetite. I was ready to eat it. I never forgot. You never forget stuff like that. You never forget little stuff that people do for you as a friend. As a friend. Not for nothing in return. It ain't that you do this and I'll do that. And you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. None of that kind of stuff. It's, "Hey, I care about you and I want to do this for you." Can anybody give us a story of somebody helping you as a friend? Financially, maybe when you was in the hospital, just any time, anything that would help drive this point home.
It was actually a couple of people from the church. My car broke down. I came down and had a doctor's appointment. My car broke down, and I didn't have a way to get Damien back to school before 11:30, so he wouldn't be killing an accident. And I was talking to Shelly on the phone, or texting Shelly on the phone. She asked me if I had a way home, and I said, "No, but I'm going in the doctor's office." When I come out, she'd already taken the shower. She said, "Okay, I'm leaving."
Bless her heart.
I didn't even ask her.
Amen.
And then I called Ron because I didn't know what else to do. And Ron went to the hospital, two separate days, and fixed my car for me and then asked me if I needed him to bring it to me. And even though I didn't have money to pay him right then for the parts or to do it.
Amen. That's good. Ron, he ain't never let me drive a Cadillac. My car was tore up and he didn't tell me I could drive his Cadillac. Huh? All right, Little Red, what do you want now? Do you have another question? Quit giggling. Ask your question. You stole that sweatshirt from some kid at school. Huh? All right. Who else? Brother Derek? It was. I'd forgot about that. I have done that a few times. I've done that a few times. I appreciate that, brother. Anybody else? How much was that on anyway? Was it really? $400. Amen. Anybody else? Well, let me tell you something else. Did you know that a friendship can be a relationship for life? Think about that. Some of your relationships are not like that. Boss, employee, even parent, children. Kids move out, get married, go at mom and daddy. They're older than you, they die, but a real friend is usually somewhere around your age or something, and they're your friend for life. I got friends right now that were my friends when I first started preaching when I was 19. Old Delane Woody. Some of y'all don't remember Brother Woody. Anybody in there remember Brother Woody? Oh, well, we got more than I thought. Delane Woody's been a friend to me. He really has after all these years. And I mean, I was about 18 when I met Woody. And he got saved up there in Marion right before I did. And he had been a drunk for years and got his teeth knocked out and car wrecks and everything else. And he got saved. He went to Florida and started a mission. Me and some boys went down there and helped him at West Palm Beach one time. And he's been working with juveniles in prison and young people for 35 years. And Brother Woody has been a friend to me. Guarantee you, I ain't seen him but maybe once in 8 or 9 years. I could call him tonight and say, "I need your truck to take to California." He'd say, "Come and get the keys." You never forget people like that. It's a friendship that can last for life. And if you really got a friend, I remember one time I was going, you know, when I went through some hard stuff and years ago, And I'm going to quit. I ain't even going to get to this all tonight. I'll have to try it next week. But I was all crying and pouting and poor mouthing. And I was talking to Ralph Sexton Jr. And Ralph Sexton Jr., he's a smart man. And he preaches all over the country and all over the world. He's one of the premier preachers in America. I know God can do anything. I know God can send revival anytime to an old redneck out in the mountains. But if I had to put my hand on one man that I believe that God would use to bring America revival, it'd be him. I'd put my money on him above any preacher that I know of anywhere as far as revival. And that don't mean God couldn't use, you know, Jared. He could do it. But I'd put my money on Ralph Sexton Jr. And I talked to Ralph, and I was over there one day, and I didn't see him. And I said, man, I'm just going to go take a couple of days off. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I had Chris and Corey with me. They probably don't remember this. And I was taking, we was going to Gatlinburg, just get away for a day or two. Ralph reached in his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and said, here, you know, do something to them girls. And I never forgot that. He didn't have to do that. And one time I gave him a tie. He said, man, I like that tie. And I just pulled it off and gave it to him. And about a year later, he said, boy, I've been wearing that tie you gave me. And so last time I went and heard him down there at Lenore, I had a nice tie. And I said, here's your tie I brought you. And I'd go give him a tie and $100. Tie about $7. But I ain't no fool. I told Ralph one time, I said, Ralph, I said, I've lost a bunch of friends. I said, man, I'm going through a hard time and I've lost my bunch. You shouldn't believe the friends I've lost. He said, Danny, listen to me, y'all. He said, Danny, you ain't lost no friends. Don't ever forget that, y'all. He said, you ain't lost no friends. He said, anybody that ain't your friend now wasn't your friend before this. He said, if they ain't your friend now, they wasn't then. He said, if they ain't now, that proves they wasn't then. Because a friend don't run out on you. A real friend, they may not agree with you. They may be mad at you. They may say, you stupid idiot, what's wrong with you? But they'll not forsake you. A real friend. You got any like that? I hope you do. I'll tell you how to get some. Be one. One man said this. He said, I went out to find a friend and could not find one anywhere. I went out to be a friend. And friends were everywhere. The Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Try to be a friend to somebody. Anybody else want to say anything? Man, this has been good. I felt the Lord in this tonight. I didn't even get to half of what I was going to give you. Let's be a friend. I got a few. They're just scattered out. Horse, horse, horse.